John chapter number 6. Look at verses 30 and following. Verses 30 and following. You remember when we got to John 6, I told you it was the longest chapter in the New Testament. Longest chapter in the New Testament. And there are a lot of things in it. That's the reason it's taking us quite a bit of time to get through it. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I have said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said among them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then he gets into the heart of this bread of life discourse. I am that bread of life. Now, in John chapter 6, we have discussed the feeding of the 5,000. There were a number of people that began to follow Christ, and because they were following him, Christ raised the question, how are we going to feed them? And one of his disciples said, there's no way in the world we can do it. Another of his disciples said, there's a lad here that has a few fish, a few barley loaves, but Lord, that won't go very far. And you know what happened. Our Lord blessed it. And whatever God blesses, it begins to multiply in one way or the other. And they were able to feed the 5,000 and have a number and had a number of loaves left over. Then we approach Jesus walking on the water, verses 17 through 21. You have to go to Matthew's reference to get the aspect of Peter trying to walk on the water and get to Christ. The important thing is not Peter walking on the water. He failed. The important thing is that Christ walked on the water, and he didn't fail. You have him walking on the water. Then you have great numbers beginning to follow Christ and looking for another meal in verses 24 through 26. Now, before beginning the bread of life discourse, our Lord gives them an introduction to that subject. They like to talk about bread. They like to talk about groceries because they had gotten a free meal from the Lord. And so our Lord uses that as a springboard to get into the subject. I am the bread of life. Rather than to take the time to go back and review some of those references, for instance, they said in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses giving you the bread. It was the Father giving you bread. And that same Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Again, sometimes you read the word world in your Bible and it does not mean everybody in the world. For instance, John 3:16, God so loved the world. Does that mean that God loves everybody in the world? And we'll not go further into that discussion, but there is a world of Gentiles out there that were existent in Christ's day, and the Jews needed to understand that. But let me say this in verse 33, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That is all in the world who will eat. If they will not eat, it will not give them life. The Bible doesn't talk about a universal salvation that Christ came and he's going to save everybody in the world. He saves those who eat. That's an introduction to the bread of life discourse, you see, that he's getting ready to enter into. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am. They really didn't know how to handle that I am. That's a very sacred name in Scripture. It is a name that Moses was permitted to use when he stood before Pilate. And Pilate said, who gave you the authority to come to me? And he said, I am sent me. God is the I am. And Jesus uses that same terminology concerning himself. Why? Because he is God. He could say, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. He could say all of those things. I am the bread of life. Now notice, he that cometh to me. Men must come to Christ in order to be saved. They must come to Christ. If they live in this country, they're going to have to come to Christ. If they live in the Philippines, they're going to have to come to Christ. If they live in the most remote country in the world, the only way they'll ever be saved is that they must come to Christ. And this is where missions enters into the picture. How can they come to him if they've never heard of him? And how are they going to hear if there's not a preacher to be sent to preach it unto them? I thank God that we have missionaries, not so much particularly our church has missionaries, and I'm thankful for the number of missionaries that we have in this church, but I am so thankful that missionaries all over the world, and some of them are dedicated to this one thing, and that's getting the gospel out, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. But people have to come to him. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. A state of discontentment arises when you get hungry. As I said maybe a week or two ago, I don't know how many of us have ever really been hungry. Now, if we miss a meal, we think, boy, I'm just starving to death. No, probably not. You last for a few days, I'm sure. We don't know what it means to be hungry in this life. But I'll tell you what, if you ever get hungry just a little bit, all of a sudden, the one thing that possesses your mind is hunger, is food. And then if you get thirsty, I'd give anything if I just had a little sip of water. I visit the hospitals a lot, and many times the patients there have been deprived of water because of the nature of their upcoming surgery, nothing by mouth, and they'd say, I'd give anything in this world for just a little piece of ice to put in my mouth. It's a possessive thing. Now, let me make this point. When you come to Christ, you get satisfied. You get satisfied with religion. and you don't have to go check out this religion and that religion and the other religion, because you've eaten the true bread and you've drunk the true water and it has satisfied you. Doesn't mean you have all that you need, but it does mean this: Christ is all we need, and he does satisfy every person who comes to him. I wonder about folks. They're Baptist a certain part of their life, and then they join the Methodist church. And after being in the Methodist church, they join the Mormons. And after the Mormon church, they join the Pentecostals, ever looking, ever seeking, but never, never, never satisfied. I am not what I ought to be. I know that. And you're not what you ought to be. But thank God I can go to bed tonight and go to sleep knowing I know my Redeemer and I'm satisfied with him. I don't have to go looking for something out there on the market that's different from what I have in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Some of these people had seen the miracles of Christ and still they would not believe. Well, they were going to see him crucified and still they would not believe. They were going to see an empty tomb, but still they would not believe. It's a tragic thing, isn't it? And there, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I believe that's so. I believe that is just as true as it can be. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, Christ is speaking. What is it that the Father gives him? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The answer to that question is in John 10, 29. John 10, 29. My Father, which gave them me. You see, the Father's in the giving business. He gives something or somebody to Jesus Christ. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them. Who is the them here? Well, it goes back to verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Father gave some sheep to Jesus Christ, and every sheep that he gave to Jesus Christ, more technically, and to be precisely correct, he gave all sheep to Jesus Christ. He didn't give any goats to Jesus Christ. He gave sheep to Jesus Christ. And all of those sheep shall come. They may not come in our time, in our day, in our generation, but they will come. They will come. All that the Father giveth me. When did he give these sheep to his son? Ephesians. Ted read about it this morning in the opening scripture reading. The Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he gave to Christ the sheep at that point. And all of these sheep will come to him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No such thing as being a sheep and not being willing to come to Christ. You will be willing. You may not be willing tonight, but you will be willing. All of the sheep are going to come to Christ. Every last one of them. Even in the 10th chapter of John, Christ said, I have some sheep that are not of this fold. Them I must, M-U-S-T, I must bring also. All sheep are going to be saved. But no goats are going to be saved. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now he says two different times, once in verse 39, once in verse 40, this is the Father's will. This is the Father's will. Whatever God wants, God gets. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. It is impossible to talk of God wanting something and not being able to have it because we won't let Him have it. This is the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Verse 39, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing." Not one single one. That's His will. Did the Father give Judas Iscariot to Jesus? Of course not. If He had given him, Judas Iscariot wouldn't have been lost, wouldn't have been unsaved. But all the sheep, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And He says almost the same thing in verse 40. "This is the Father's will that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Everyone which seeth the Son. How can you see the Son? Because He's gone. He's no longer here. How can you see the Son? And when you see Him, you may believe on Him or must believe on Him. You may have everlasting life. I'm convinced that people see Christ or pictures depicting Christ, and yet they don't see Him. When you have to go into a Catholic church and see Jesus laying in a coffin, they see that, but that's not the Jesus of the Scripture. He's not in a coffin. He never was in a coffin. He was in a sepulchre, but He wasn't in a coffin. And He wasn't there but just 3 days and three nights. And He arose from the dead. And He's been with the Father in heaven for 2,000 years. Don't show me Christ hanging on the cross. Show me an empty tomb. Show me a joyful group of disciples praising God. He's no longer here. He's risen. That's the Son we must see. That's the Christ we must see. The world doesn't see that Christ today. They don't see that Jesus today. He was a good man, taught a lot of good moral lessons, performed a little good examples for us, but they don't see Jesus Christ as God. And you have to see Him as God. And the only way you can see Him as God is God gives you that revelation. He drops the scales from your eyes. It's the will of God to do that. "And out of all that He's given me, I should lose nothing." Not a one of them. And twice He says, "I will raise Him up at the last day." Now, that should mean something to you tonight. And maybe depending on your age, it will determine the degree to which you appreciate a statement like that. Because young people, you see, don't die. They are absolutely bulletproof. Young people just don't die. You got to be old and decrepit, like me and like some of you are getting to be. Now, I want to tell you what. Isn't it good to know that He's going to raise us up? What does that mean? That means the same body, listen, and I don't want to spend too much time in theology at this point, but the same body that was put in that tomb will be raised in a glorified state. Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. He did not have a different body when He came out of the tomb. He had the same body He had when He went in that tomb. Only difference was when He came out, He could walk through closed doors. It was a glorified body. He could defy the law of gravity on His ascension. He defied any power that would keep Him to this earth. He could just go on and go up and up. What am I saying? I'm saying we have a promise. Though it may please the devil when we die, and he thinks he's got the upper hand, at the resurrection morning, God's going to raise us up. And I believe that. I believe that's the hope for Christian people all over the world. You only die once. You only die once, and maybe you might not even die. But the worst scenario is you might die. And if you die, He will raise you up. Why? Because it's His will to do so. and he does what he wants to do. Verse 41, as though the Jews had earplugs when Christ said that. Notice they just changed the subject. They murmured at him because he said, I am the bread. It lets you know what they had on their mind. They wanted some more groceries. They were hungry. They did not know the Lord. They wanted something to eat. And so they murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, and this is the understanding of a lot of folk today, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? You may know his mother, but you don't know his earthly father because he didn't have an earthly father. Joseph was not his father. God was and evermore will be his father. Oh, the sheer ignorance, you see. How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said among them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me. But you look at that verse. The Lord said it. This isn't a Baptist favorite verse. The Lord Jesus said this. No man can come to me except, there's a one exception, the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now, if the Father which sent me draw him, then he can come to me. But unless the Father draws him, he cannot. He cannot. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. There are two questions I want to ask about verse 44. When Jesus said, no man can come to me, is that a true statement? Sure it is. If you believe the Bible, you'd have to believe. Yes, that's a true statement. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. No man. Second question is this. Does the Father draw everybody? There are some who say, well, of course, God loves the world, does he not? Loves everybody in the world. Therefore, God draws everybody, and it's up to man's free will whether he'll come or not. No, no, no. There are people living in this world that have never heard of Jesus Christ. There's no drawing power there, my dear friends, apart from the gospel that will ultimately be preached by missionaries and others. If that be so, my dear friends, we need to understand that salvation is of the Lord. The only reason why we come to the Lord is because we are drawn to the Lord. The Father draws us to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. You know what? Before you were saved, you heard something. Yes, you did. And before you were saved, you learned something. It all burst forth on your mind like a brilliant light. I did not know this. I'm a sinner. Christ died for my sins. God taught you that. He taught you that. Not a theological professor. God taught you that. You've learned. You've heard. And when you learn and when you hear, you come. What does that say for those who do not come? They have not heard and they do not hear and they do not learn. Let's pick up very quickly verse 35. And we want to spend just briefly a few moments on this. Jesus said in verse 48, I'm the bread of life. He's already said it before. He reiterates it. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Again, he says it. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The next two or three verses have absolutely nothing to do with the Lord's Supper. How do you know that? Because the Lord's Supper had not been instituted at this time. But our Roman Catholic friends say it does have to do with the Lord's Supper, and they take the approach of communion as transubstantiation. That when you take the bread from the plate as it is presented to you, as you eat it, it becomes the literal flesh of Jesus Christ. And when you drink the cup, the content of the cup becomes the literal blood of Jesus. Folks, listen, I'm not making this up. That's sound Catholic doctrine. You read Darby's Catechism of the Catholic Faith, and he makes it very, very clear about the literal transubstantiation that takes place in the Lord's Supper. Again, I made a statement. The Lord's Supper's not in view here. The Lord's not talking about the Lord's Supper in these verses. He had not even instituted it. But somebody down along the road said the only way that can be is you actually eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. Verse 53. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. There's a spiritual application in this, I think, our Lord is making. He certainly is not advocating that we all turn into cannibals, which is a sin within itself. You receive Jesus Christ by faith. You've never seen him, but you receive him by faith. You believe what the Bible says about him. And when you receive him by faith, you start living the life of Christ that he imparts within you, which is himself. It's all done by faith. They had been used to eating manna. They did it for 40 years in the wilderness, and they found out pretty quick, even though they didn't like the bland taste of it, that if they didn't eat it, they would die. They ate that manna for 40 years, and they found out a principle. As you eat physical food, it goes into your body and in turn gives you physical life. If you don't eat physical food, you will die. There's a principle. You can't get away from it. Christ is speaking of that principle. Even as you eat physical food, it in turn gives you physical life. You, by faith, receive Jesus Christ into your soul, not into your stomach, but into your soul, and he in turn gives you spiritual life. That is the life of Christ. That involves his flesh, and it involves his blood. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Well, we've run out of time, but what a tremendous study in the Word of God is John chapter number 6. Let's stand, please, and we'll have word of prayer for a dismissal.